Speaking of communication, what about all the technology about these days?
Does it help service or does it hinder it?
Well, John, it all depends. It depends on the people who are using the technology, whether they're using it to their advantage or whether they're not using it in a very clever sense, and it, in fact, becomes more frustrating to the customer. It really is dependent on the people operating it.
I guess one of the areas where technology has really come to the fore in terms of service would be automatic teller machines with the banks.
Yes, most certainly. One of the things I always find amazing is there's often more people in the queue for the automatic teller machine
than
teller. And the tellers, they're sort of absolutely vacant of customers. And I think that's an indication of how people have adapted to automatic teller machines much more readily and are becoming much more familiar with them. Now, of course, it's pretty frustrating if for some reason it gobbles up your card or it doesn't work. And that certainly, I guess, isn't good service. But again, it gets back to the people that are operating them, because the potential for technology to improve service is the sky is the limit, really, if people use it cleverly. But I think sometimes if there's human error that goes into it, it creates bad vibes with people who maybe aren't used to using these automatic things.
It's a variation on the old garbage in, garbage out.
Absolutely.
Type of syndrome. What other areas, or where are some other areas that technology can improve service?
Well, in the airline industry, hotels, restaurants, courier service, the list is pretty much endless. And I think the point you raised in terms of garbage in, garbage out is a very good one. I was at a bank today and had not a real great experience with a teller, and she said to me, it's the computer's fault. And I said, she got the wrong person, because I gave her this little lecture and said, it's not the computer's fault, because a computer is a tool just like a hammer. And if you're using a hammer and you hit yourself on the thumb, whose fault is it? Is it the computer's or is it the hammer's? You know, and she said, oh, never thought of it that way. And I said, really, it's only the computer can only do as much as the people put the right information in the first place. And I'm sure she thought, oh, I hope I don't get this one back again.
I'm sure she loved you. One of the things that interests me about service, you see it in more and more restaurants these days, where waiters punch your order into a little computer thing.
Right.
They don't write it down on a book anymore.
And there's a couple of advantages to that, because by punching it into a little computer thing, A, the cook in the kitchen doesn't have to decipher if anyone's got bad handwriting. As you pointed out, mine's not really all that great. And also, it's faster. Don't turn the page upside down. It doesn't look any different.
That's upside down, isn't it?
Yes. But also, it's easy for the cook to decipher. It's faster in terms of the order gets to the kitchen right away. And the third thing that it does is it frees up the waiter or waitress to spend a bit more time personally with the customer rather than worrying about rushing right back to the kitchen, so they can give them more personalized attention.
It's often observed, of course, that we're in the midst of a technological revolution, and that is true. Are we likely to see more and more and more technology coming into service with customers?
Yes, I think inevitably we will, just as we have. Deliveries, for example, there's a lot more technology used in courier services. Federal Express in the United States, which stole a huge percentage of the monopoly from the American Post Office. Mm. What they did, rather than say to their customers, well, look, your parcel's left and we don't know quite when it'll get there.
They can tell you exactly where it is at any time.
Exactly, at every point in time.
Will we ever reach the stage where technology completely replaces or displaces the human element in service?
I suppose it's possible, but I think an important thing to remember here that technology is not the answer. It's really only technology, as I said earlier, which is used as a tool, and people are the most important factor. And as people, if we can use it cleverly, it really is a big benefit. But I don't see technology replacing human element of service, because really service is about good old-fashioned customer service and caring about your customer, and machines don't have that caring element that people do.
For our final segment...
Really, you have to drive into the future looking at where you're going long-term. You can't look backwards. You really have to look forwards. And managers of organizations or sections within organizations have to inspire in their staff a vision of where the organization is going.
That's a real fundamental challenge of leadership.
It is.
And who's responsible ultimately? The head person?
Yes, ultimately the head person has to inspire that vision and get people really excited about it and committed to it. And I guess one of the examples that really comes very readily to mind is when John F. Kennedy said that they would put a man on the moon within 10 years. It was a very short, crisp statement of something that wasn't yet possible, but was something that they were aiming towards. So vision is something saying, look, it's a goal out there in the future of what we can achieve if we all pull together.
You know what was a great hallmark of many of Kennedy's challenges and sayings? simplicity. That is a very simple statement. We will put a man on the moon within 10 years. Everybody can understand it. It's short, it's sharp, and it's to the point.
Yes, and I think that any vision that an organization has to likewise be short and simple so that everybody in the organization can understand it. Not coming out with some esoteric or philosophical two-page statement. That is not a vision. Some of the how-to in terms of the mission and the objectives and the way they're going to achieve it can follow on from that, but just something very simple that everyone can readily identify and say, hey, that's me, that's why I come to work.
And it has to be something all-encompassing for the organization. Vision, you're not talking about, your job is to go and sweep the footpath at 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
No, that's the how-to, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the how-to. But the vision is really the big picture of what the organization is really all about and why they're there. And the way I look at it is a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle in that really the whole is bigger than the sum of the parts. And when you've got a jigsaw puzzle, it's much easier to do if you look at the front cover and can see the picture of what you're really trying to achieve. You can do jigsaw puzzles in at least half the time if you've got the picture than if you don't have the picture. And I think it's very much the same in an organization. If everybody understands the big picture, they then understand the important role that they play in the, even though it's one of 5,000 pieces in a jigsaw puzzle, where they fit into it.